Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Yeah!
Look, I'm the Fiend. I did a Fiend thing. The Fiend returned everyone last night, and now he's extra crispy. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen. We're going to review last night's Fastlane pay-per-view, the stop on the way to WrestleMania, the toilet break, when you need to pull over on a long journey and hop into the gas station and buy a packet of crisps. Which, what do you know? And sometimes those little trips are really fun. You know, at the start, you're tired, like, oh, God, boring. I can't. But by the end of it, you're like, yes, okay, I'm back on the road. That was a really fun ending to that gas station. One of the points being that we're going to start off talking about now is the return of the Fiend. It happened in the Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton match, a match that had no physical sort of altercations between the two opponents.
Well, yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to be a cinematic match, and it was sort
it
of...
It was.
It half was, it half wasn't. It wasn't cinematic in the sense of, like, you know, Firefly Funhouse or the Swamp Fight or, you know, or, like, you know, Stadium Stampede or something. It was in-ring, but it was, like, a lot of camera cuts, a lot of, like, camera trickery and all of this sort of stuff. Like, there's a moment when, like, Randy Orton walks towards her and this wall of fire sort of, like, goes up to sort of block them. But you don't see Alexa, like, being protected by the wall of fire. You just see some flames go up in front of the camera and Randy Orton go, like, oh, no. And, you know, like, Alexa Bliss shot out a fireball and things like that.
Which commentary said Randy Orton blocked?
What, the fireball?
Yeah.
Did he block it with his face?
I don't know. I don't. But oh, he should have been burned, right? How'd it get burned? But he's just there, fine. The last one, he had a little mask on for at least a week. He sold that fire for a week. Here, we're all talking about how Bliss has got powers. Orton can just... It's not very effective.
He sort of matrixed his way out of being hit by the Hadouken. And then, like, later on, there's like a spot where they're like they're walking around the ringside, and then Alexa Bliss, like the girl in Friday the 13th, Part 7, is just sort of like looking at an object, then it flies across the ring and hits Jason in the face. She just looks up, and all of a sudden, this lighting rig falls down because apparently she's now got telekinesis powers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm still holding out that she's just got up into the rafters and loosened some bolts before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and what, she had, like, just a little string, like Wile E. Coyote, just like a little string off to the side to, like, make the rock fall on the Roadrunner.
Yeah, but then the fireballs don't work. See, that's I'll come on to it. That's my problem. I kind of like there to be an out where supernatural stuff happens. I'm like, ooh, but I need there to be an out of, like, oh, yeah, but it is a wrestling, right? It is real, kind of. At least I can believe it's real. And there are explanations based in reality for all of these crazy occurrences. Anyway, all those bits happened. Orton also vomited up black liquid before the match began. Everyone's performances were good. I thought Randy sold that very well. Bliss's, you know, demonic girl act is really good too. Her makeup was pretty cool. And her entrance music, I thought.
Yeah.
Creepy mix-up of the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, because it's got like her theme, but then it's got the Firefly Funhouse theme, but then it's like a slow down version, which obviously makes it creepier.
Mm. So all this happens. They go about, I think it's 6 minutes overall, maybe. And Randy is in the ring. He's going to take a step towards Bliss when a little arm comes up through the canvas. It grabs Randy's foot, and out from the depths comes Melted Fiend.
Okay, so I'm going to put my cards out on the table here. Not into this storyline. I'm just not. It's just not for me. I'm really sorry. I'm, if you like it, fair Fs to you. I'm glad that you are. It's not working for me, though. I'm not invested in Randy. I'm not that invested in Bliss. I'm not that invested in The Fiend. However, I kind of like all the performances that they're giving. I'm just not massively into it. I think Bliss is great. I think, like, you know, The Fiend is what he is, and I think Randy's done a really good job with it. It's just not for me. With that said, I thought Crispy Fiend was really cool, and I like the mask. And I was, you know, one of the few people that was on the stream last night, and I was like, I think it looks kind of rad. Like, I really like that it's this burnt mask version of it. And maybe it just comes from the fact that, like, I am a horror movie fan. So, like, I looked at that, and I was like, oh, man, it's like Tom Savini's work that he did on Jason in Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, which is just like, you know, he is literally like, he's almost become the mask. Like, the hockey mask isn't part of his face. Like, it is literally just part of his face. And it's not something that comes off. And he's this all, like, bubbled and burnt thing, and like this crispy bastard. It's not a good movie. But I also had vibes of the end of Child's Play, where, like, you know, they burn Chucky alive, but because, like, he is this sort of, you know, demonic thing, right? He's still trying to come after them. So he's this, like, burnt, crisp thing, but he's got, like, the toy eye that's still being visible through there, and he's holding up the knife. And I was getting, like, kind of those vibes from it, and I kind of dug it. And so I looked, and I was like, that is, Bray Wyatt is clearly a horror movie fan, and he wants to, like, ebb some of his favorite horror movies. Like, I'm wearing a Child's Play t-shirt, like, in honor of sort of, like, you know, my feelings towards this, because I kind of, like, really sort of enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to finish off the match, Fiend came out all crispy and melted, how Luke described, hit Sister Abigail on Randy, and Bliss just straddled the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Just like,
oh, yeah, just
sexy pin.
Well, okay, so Chopper Pete lost his mind for this finish, because
in what way? In a good way?
Okay. No. This was his exact words, because the referee slides in and counts the three, and Pete just goes, "Surely that's a DQ, right?" Like,
bless Pete. Like, that's the bit that annoyed him.
I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Well, Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, interfered in that match. That's a DQ." Yeah. And I was like, I don't think the ref saw it. So that's why he just counted the three.
Did nobody else see The Fiend? Was it just us and Randy? Yeah, but fire, presumably not a red flag for Pete there.
No.
So I saw someone else put a comment like, Randy lost, but did he? With the nature of that pin. But the overall, what is striking me, and again, I'll echo what Luke said, if you enjoyed this, all the power to you. I'm over saying this is, you know, this really negates the rest of the believability throughout the promotion, because you know what? It's WWE. Nothing makes sense anyway. They've done loads of things like this in the past. They didn't like it then. Not so into it now. Definitely not into it now. It's just a thing that's there now. And when Fiend came out, my initial thought was, it's not as cool as the old Fiend. It's not as bad as it could have been. And I think that sums up, that's a microcosm for how I feel about this entire story. It's nowhere near as good as it used to be with The Fiend, but it's not bad, I guess. It's just there. In a way, kind of more depressing that I feel like that.
But I'm also, in a way, really curious to see if we're going to still get, like, Sweater Bray. Because, like the Fiend is this burnt thing, and, like, the mask is now, like, part... Like, the Fiend's mask is now part of his face, and, like, the suit that he is wearing is, like, you know, like smoldered to him. I'm not sure if that's the correct word or anything, but it's, like, it was burnt to him, basically.
Smoldered.
You know. Oh, man, what's the thing he does in Zoolander?
Blue Steel.
I kept thinking it was Blue Lightning, but I was like, it's not Blue Lightning. Yeah, so, like, I'm kind of curious to see what they're doing there. When I say curious, I'm not interested. Like, I'm not invested, but I am curious to see what they are going to do with this. And, you know, whether or not this burnt Fiend sticks around, like, is this just how the Fiend is now, or whether he's going to revert back to old Fiend at some point?
Luke, I was curious what Zack Snyder was going to do differently with a 4-hour Justice League. I'm in no way interested in it. I won't watch it. I'll read about it. I'll watch some YouTube clips. Good God, am I not going to watch that movie? So I guess that's an interesting point, though, before we get onto your hyper chats, get them all into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. Is where do you go from here? I guess, like, the Fiend's back in town, and we all expect he's going to have some kind of Firefly Funhouse match against Randy Orton, which I bet will be really good. Because
it's going to be so good. Like, Randy is a character that, like, belongs in that sort of match.
And the Cena stuff was so good last year. So I'm very excited for that. However, like, where do you go from here in the interim? Do we get Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers style back? Is Bliss controlling the Fiend? Is the Fiend controlling her? So I guess, yeah, I'm not into the feud like you are, but I want to see what they do.
I think you have misunderstood me here. I'm not into this feed, but the mask is cool.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get into your hyper chats. Go over to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. Garrett Albright says, glad to see the Fiend back. I have missed him, actually, I'd say.
You haven't seen him since December.
Do you think the Fiend will use the heel glove to fix himself? Heel being healing there, not heal the bad guy. Or even make himself into a stronger Fiend? Maybe Alexa could do it. Or could it happen at Mania? Thanks for the amazing content, Jam That Jam.
I mean, you mentioned heel then, as in, like, H-E-A-L heel. But also, like, the H-E-L-L heel is an interesting part of this because Randy Orton is the heel in this storyline, but sort of feels like the babyface. And, like, the Fiend and Alexa are definitely the babyface in this, but sort of feel like they're heels.
It's the heel era. We're out of the PG era and all that. It's the heel era where everyone's a heel. Even Edge is a heel, it seems now. Blind Raw, the new look definitely works in terms of story, but I can't put my finger on why I don't like it. Must be the rest of the look. I'm also very much done with the storyline and can't wait for the Mania blow-off and for everyone to move on.
Oh, Blind Raw, that is some optimism there. Like, there's surely a rematch at Backlash. Like, you know, you could get this out to a SummerSlam.
I've heard it described as a paper mache suit, the rest of the Fiend's look.
Yeah. I mean, someone sent it to me like very early doors last night when it proper looks like the Toxic Avenger from Lloyd Kaufman's talk. Like, you proper look like Toxie. And that actually just made me love it even more because I'm a big Toxie guy.
Scott Young, if they are to go to a Firefly Funhouse match at Mania, does it work with a crowd? I forgot there were people going to be there. If I were at Mania, I'm not sure how I'd feel having to watch a telly for 15 minutes. Obviously, if you're at home, it works amazing. But with a crowd, I'm not so sure. Yeah, I agree. When this has happened in the past, like for the Boiler Room Brawl, for instance, between Taker and Mankind, it is just a pre-tape for 10, 15 minutes and the crowd... They get very bored and restless.
Well, we saw it in Revolution. Like, you know, they sort of stopped the pay-per-view essentially for the live crowd that was there before the main event so they could show the Sting tag match, which was a cinematic match. So I guess it kind of sort of works. Like, that crowd was still there for that main event. They weren't, like, bored. And I think when they came out of it, they still felt like they were quite amped up for things. But I don't know. Like, will it be different on a Mania show, which is... I mean, I was about to say it will be longer, but I'm not sure there are much longer than Revolution. Like, some of the AEW pay-per-views do feel like they do go on for a bit.
Looks like there'll be a lot more people at Mania too. So that's a lot more minds to sort of occupy.
People, right?
New Punk Rants. Bray got me back into wrestling as a fan. I don't think I could have hated this Fiend character any more after Hell in a Cell than last night happened. It's Russo bad. Paul Wyndham Rotunda. They've done everything to ruin his character. Here we go again. It's 2001 WCW.
New Punk Rants, I think this is more Bray than you're giving it credit for. Like, I think a lot of the things that have been happening in this feud are Bray Wyatt's thoughts and feelings on it. Like, it's almost like, I feel like he has got so much more influence on this than some people are giving it credit for.
Stephen Guzman, on a positive note, I love this Fiend storyline. It's goofy as hell at times, but you know what? We'll never get this much crazy stuff again after they go back to live crowds, so I do appreciate it, but understand if someone doesn't like it. Yeah, I think it's good that everyone's being understanding. To look at this storyline and get annoyed at other people not liking it or liking it, I think it's an obviously divisive storyline that's not made for everyone. That's in its nature. So... I'm over the debate now. It's there. I can't do anything about it. Mr. Burt Wayne, what percentage do you really believe Bray himself was underneath that gimmick? Questionable.
This has been one of the bizarrest things I've seen about this. Ever since last night, there were a lot of people being like, that wasn't Bray Wyatt underneath that costume. It didn't look like him underneath it. Like,
looks a lot smaller.
Like, yeah, but I think it's, you know, it's probably Bray. Like, why would it be?
I think
someone
it's the
else?
Suit.
Yeah, it's definitely Bray. It's because he's like, there's more padding on him and stuff to make it look so like it's more burns.
Yeah, you can't see Bray's figure. And I think that was one of the great looks of the other Fiend, where you got these tight, stripy trousers, then like the weird, bulky leather jacket part of it. But you miss all that here. It's just one block. But I'm pretty sure it's him. Why wouldn't it be? Your Gabbage Mate. I miss the Swamp Monster. Oh, those were the days. That's the craziest lockdown god, I think.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that happened. And finally for now, Projection 2K, the Fiend stuff makes me sad now. I want to love this feud, but I just get sad because it feels they want to recreate The Undertaker, but hey-ho, again, I'm sad.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Like, I don't know, maybe I think I'm just sort of past the Fiend, unfortunately, at this point. Like, I think a lot of the ideas, whether they come from WWE or from Bray himself, just haven't really clicked with me like they did in the early days of this character. And yeah, this feud with Randy has been one that I've struggled to get into.
Anyway, Fastlane. So the pre-show had no Charlie Caruso on, which is very interesting. We had Kayla Braxton doing the hosting duties and Kevin Patrick, the new robot. I didn't know they had male versions. I thought it was just a lady line of robots.
It's an upgrade to the software that they use to create their line of these robots. They've now got like a bloke version. So yeah, it's kind of nice actually to have a lad back there. You know, it's a bit of a shake things up a little bit.
Did Luke Owen just say that men are an upgrade to women?
No, that is
not what he just said.
No, what I mean by that is we're in FIFA where you're allowed to play as women now. That was seen as an upgrade to it because you have got more than just the one. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's interesting that the reports are...
You bastard.
The reports are that Caruso is unpleasant to work with backstage at the moment. There were those reports that she was sort of... Not no-showing, but turning up for interviews late, annoying some of the talent like Randy Orton and Sheamus. Vince McMahon apparently had enough of it and has sort of taken her off Raw and her hosting duties. So I don't know. Don't know what's going to happen soon. It feels like she's out the door.
Well, I mean, with Andrade out the door. So last night during the live stream, that was when Andrade put out the tweet that was just like, good news, everyone. And like we were like, oh wow, is he coming Farnsworth or is he just like, has he actually got his release? And then yeah, sure enough, after the show, it was granted. I thought they would just let him sit his contract out. But maybe like, you know, with Caruso as well, maybe yeah, it's gonna like we're just gonna see her go.
I feel like it's because FTR were released before the mass releases last year, if you remember. So it wasn't like, oh, okay, they're not doing a big mass release this year because they released FTR. And then, oh my God, it's the biggest mass release ever. So yeah, let's see what happens. I'm already tense though. I did not like that. That was a horrible day for just wrestling in general.
Yeah.
But the only pre-show match was Ali versus Riddle. It's like, you know, for the United States title, when the bell rings, the action is amazing. But it's everything around that. The finishes, the characters, the stupid comedy, the factions that really have no credibility at all. And that's what we sort of got here. Great work between Ali and Riddle, but Ali's just always shouting at Retribution at ringside, being like, this is how you do it, guys. He gets beaten relatively easy in about 10 minutes. Good action, but
yeah,
Ali lost again.
Yeah, and like... So apparently the report is that higher up pitched the idea that let's just break up Retribution. They've had a good run, but like I think it's probably time to just break this group up. And this feels like it's been not coming for a while. Like certainly the Ali split from Retribution or them turning on him seems like that's been coming for some time now, at least for a few weeks. But yeah, like they did it here. After the match, like Ali starts shouting at Mia Yim and then she leaves and he shouts at Slapjack and he leaves and then he starts shouting at T-Bar and Mace and they do the double chokeslam deal on him and sort of walk away. It didn't feel like it was the breakup of Retribution, but it certainly felt like the ousting of Ali from Retribution.
It was I was going to say it was...
Yeah, you said on your news that you could just like... Sorry, mate, we're just talking over each other now. Internet and all that. You just said like you sort of feel that they could just take them off TV, re-debut them after Raw, like separately, just give them back their old names and just like pretend that none of this ever happened.
I would like that most. I think that would be most effective. You know, the Raw after Mania, it's a new season. No one really cares. They're willing to, it's so exciting and the momentum, everyone's willing to forgive old booking and character flaws. Unfortunately, I don't think that is going to happen. The way this played out was very specific in that Reckoning walked off first, Slapjack walked off next, and it was T-Bar and Mace who stayed in the ring and chokeslammed Ali. That to me says Reckoning's going to do what she's going to do. Slapjack's gone off as well. Otherwise, why didn't they have the the revenge on Ali. Maybe they stick around with Ali, which would be even worse. I think it's definitely setting up Mace and T-Bar in those gimmicks to be a tag team.
Yeah, that's what we were saying on the live stream last night. It felt like they're sticking, because like they even like put their heads to each other as well, as if like, you know, as a celebratory thing. So yeah, I feel like they are sticking as a tag team. Which, you know what? Like, yeah, as T-Bar and Mace, it's less good, but as Dijak and what was it, Dio Madden, like you could do with some tag teams on Raw. And you haven't got like beefy tag teams now, because you haven't got AOP, you haven't got the War Raiders currently. So you could do with like a beefy tag team. I don't think that's the worst idea in the world, really.
Just that's Raw's speciality. Beef. Build it all around the beef.
I thought you were going to say that's Raw's speciality. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, that as well. We then got a
as Dion points out here, Retribution lasted longer than Raw Underground.
They sure did. So then we got a little, it's interesting seeing WWE's response to the pandemic. It either doesn't exist or they are the leading charge in getting people vaccinated. So after that on the pre-show, and it played again in the main card, we got a video package with wrestlers out of kayfabe. It was weird seeing Bobby Lashley telling me to get a vaccination with a big smile for people to go out and get their jabs against COVID.
I mean, obviously, I watched the show. You can actually go back and watch me watch the show. I did pick up on that's what this was, because like whenever there isn't a match on, we were just like chatting and going through hyperchats and stuff. So I didn't realize that this was a like, we're pleading with you now to go out and get vaccinated. That's a very interesting kind of take on that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, coincides with when they need live event tickets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Of course it is, yeah.
So the main card. Okay, I think we should just get through the first half of the main card as quickly as possible, because it was just lame. It was like a below average version of a TV episode of Raw or SmackDown. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say that's fine. Although the finishes kind of like bugged me in the first two matches, unfortunately.
Well, the first one was Belair and Banks versus Jackson Baszler for the women's titles. They told the story of Belair and Banks having friction. Reginald got involved at one point. Banks had Shayna in the bank statement at the end, but Nia Jax pushed Belair. Belair had got in to sort of fight Jax off. Jax pushes Belair into Banks, breaking up the bank statement. And Banks is like, why did you do that? You must be turning on me. There is no other possible reason here for this to be happening. And then she gets rolled up by Shayna Baszler, and Banks and Belair combust at the end of it. Seemed like a Banks heel turn. She sort of slapped Belair, which is good, because she's a much better heel. And Belair, you know, was like, oh, ow, why is this? Why has she slapped me? And then she pointed at the sign.
I hated all of this. hated all of this. At the start of this match, we said, like, it's a real lose-lose situation, because either Banks and Belair win and we get the tag team champions that don't get on with each other and are feuding, and how will they possibly coexist? That's not great. Or you either pin the Royal Rumble winner or you pin your SmackDown Women's Champions. Like, none of this was good. None of this could have ended well, unless you did a DQ finish, which also, fun fact, isn't great. So what they decided to go with here was somehow the worst of all the options. Which
wasn't the worst option.
Dude, this is so much
worse. Reginald could have been more involved. No,
this was so much the worst option, and here is why I think this is the worst. But you're right, actually. Reginald getting involved probably would have made this worse. So it's maybe it's the second... It's one of the worst options possible. Mm. What happened here is that Nia Jax pushes Bianca Belair into Sasha Banks doing the bank statement. By the way, Sasha Banks is looking up at Belair falling into her. So she sees Nia Jax push her, right? Then Nia Jax bails out the ring. So then Banks stands up, looks at Belair, and is like, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean, what are you doing? You literally just saw Nia Jax. What do you think that Bianca Belair broke up this pin? Are you thick? Are you that thick? I hate making champions look so stupid. Made Belair look stupid as well. And because they're thick and they're arguing because they're stupid thickos, she gets pinned like a chump. The SmackDown Women's Champion gets pinned like an absolute doofus. And then they continue to argue after the match. And then she slaps her, right? So then Banks walks off, and Bianca Belair seemingly cuts a promo on the WrestleMania sign, because she's not just pointing at it, she's talking to it as if it's responding back to her. And then Banks is just standing on the ramp, posing with the belt. Like, who are you posing to? She's not looking at you. She's looking at the sign. She's going to throw on the sign. I hated everything about this. It made everyone look like an absolute imbecile.
Yeah, the posing and the staging of the WrestleMania sign point was horribly awkward. He's sponsored by Huel there, mate.
Oh, sorry. My...
Ooh, this rant was brought to you...
I'm so sorry. It's my I had some really bad headaches over the weekend. So my wife's like, you're not drinking enough water. That's your problem. So she's given me her Huel cup, because apparently it's got like a literage or something on it. She's like, I need to now drink four of these a day to And that is like, it's a direct order from my wife to drink four of these a day. I didn't mean to just sponsor Huel in all of this.
I'm only kidding. But yeah, the WrestleMania sign stuff was very, very staged. After that, we got Shane McMahon. Earlier in the day, he had injured himself doing his I'm a fighter MMA training stuff, because he's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow. And he walks out of the training room and he's got a crutch and he's ankles taped up and he's wearing the stupid Strowman Express t-shirt. Who is buying that hunk of junk? And Elias comes over and is like, hey, you should let me do a concert. And that was a setup for a thing that happened later. Then we got Apollo versus Big E. Now, I enjoyed this quite a bit. Meltzer said they worked really slow at the start, but I thought it had the pacing of a sort of Lesnar-Goldberg confrontation of just two guys, power moves, suplexes. Big E was like openly trash-talking in quite a cool way, and he's very good at that, just like that sort of stream of consciousness monologuing. But they started into a roll-up sequence of pins, and there was a botch.
Yeah,
Apollo was meant to lose, but his shoulders were on the mat. Big E pinned him by accident, it seems.
See, we thought this was a botched finish, because like the way that Big E kind of reacted afterwards, he sort of like looked at the referee with some confusion, and the referee, like, she counted, but it almost looked like she wasn't supposed to count. And then she sort of like got up and called for the bell. And then everyone was like a bit confused. The commentators didn't really know what to do either. So we kind of figured that wasn't the finish. But I also sort of think that it was the finish. I think we were meant to do this sort of roll-up sequence. And Big E gets this surprise roll-up on Apollo Crews that he can then attack him after the match. Which, by the way, is one of my least favorite things in wrestling. It's just, and we talked about this on the prediction show. You've just debuted this new character, this new heel character. The first thing you're doing is pushing them into a title match. So you kind of like, you don't want to Carmella this in where you debut this new character, then you put her in a title match and then she loses. Cool. What do you do next? Put her in a title match. Is she going to win that one? No, not really. cool. So what do you do? Oh, she lost. What do you do now? Actually, I don't know. I was worried that was going to happen with Cruz here as well. So what we got is, Cruz loses the match, but then lays him out afterwards to stand tall. So no one gets over. And it sucks, because the actual match was great. But if you were just going to do this like messy finish at the end where Apollo Crews loses, why do this at all? Why not just save this until Mania? If you're like, the whole thing was like, oh, we need to build to a rematch. Why not just do the first match at WrestleMania?
What, and have Apollo beat a load of people and Big E beat a load of people independently, and these two unstoppable objects come towards each other? Tune in this Sunday for the collision. That will never work.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one idea. Yeah.
I think this was meant to be a longer show. It's weird that it was 2 hours and 3 quarters, which is beautiful, by the way. I reckon it was probably meant to go 2 hours 55, 3 hours. I think this was meant to go a lot longer than it did.
It didn't feel like it was supposed to be the finish.
There was a sort of Old Spice skit, which was filmed like an advert, but actually seemingly had two official 24/7 title changes. R-Truth lost it to a Joseph Average. I've already gotten bored. Braun versus Elias.
It was Bugenhagen from NXT.
Was
it? Bugenhagen's like, yeah, that's Bugenhagen. He's like one of the most charismatic people they've got down there. I've remarkably done nothing with him. But yeah, it was Boogs.
Because he used to do the... What was the thing he used to do? The really annoying... I didn't I knew That's unfortunate that he's in the 24/7 title picture. At least there isn't Damian Priest. Braun versus Elias. So Shane McMahon comes out for a Elias concert. And this was, you know what? It annoys me when Shane does good things because I just want to hate him. Shane goes, oh, by the way, buddy, you're my replacement for the match against Braun. And Shane's facials, his delivery here was actually really good. And then Braun came down, didn't really do anything with Shane, and railroaded Elias. Elias got a bit of heat back for like 30 seconds, but no, running power slam. Very 2018. I felt like, oh God, I was bored of this matchup several years ago. When was it? And I Googled it, and there were just loads of results for Braun Strowman versus Elias on Raw.
Yeah, this was no good. So I've got a theory that on Monday, they decided we're going to do Braun versus Shane at Fastlane, right? Like, that's the plan that we've got. Then on Tuesday, they suddenly thought, actually, we don't know what we're going to do on it. I can't think of a good idea. Take it off the card. Like, we'll just pretend that it never actually happened. So they never put it on WWE.com. It was never like officially promoted throughout the week. And then on the day of the show itself, they were like, oh, actually, I've got an idea. Should we just put it back on the card? They're like, yeah, okay, well, we'll just put it back on the card then. He could just beat up Elias and stab him with his erect nipples during the power slam. And yeah, so that's what we kind of got here. And it wasn't good. And it went way longer than it should have done. This went like, you know, this went like 5 minutes, and it didn't need to go 5 minutes. It needed to literally just be the power slam and that's it. And Strowman, like, you know, Shane goes, oh yeah, you're my replacement for this match. And then he bails. And then Strowman just walks down to the ring and is like, I'll have a match then. I'm like, shouldn't you be mad at Shane? You're supposed to be wrestling Shane McMahon now to get your revenge for the green goop. But you're acting like you don't care. And you're just going to beat up Elias instead. Like, this made Strowman look, funny enough, stupid.
It almost made Braun feel like Shane's henchman.
Yeah, it really did.
And it is difficult because we haven't really had that babyface turn for Strowman. He came back, was a dick, and then Shane McMahon was more of a dick. It's like the Attitude Era where I don't like anyone. Everyone's just a dick to each other, but they lack, you know, compelling characters. Matt Riddle scoots past Shinsuke Nakamura. The Riddle character is so incredibly lame. I hate it.
Yeah,
great wrestler, though. But then we got Seth Rollins versus Nakamura, and this is when the pay-per-view turned around. They had a really fun back-and-forth match, exploder suplexes, buckle bombs. What went about 12 minutes overall, and I thought both guys looked great by the end of it. Nakamura looked good in defeat, and the finish that Seth had was really, really cool. It was like he ran forward for the knee, Nakamura dodged it, but Seth, in one fluid motion, like Jeff Hurst changing direction to save a goal, like hit him on the back of the head and followed up with a stomp. I really liked it.
Yeah, I was a big fan of this match. Really, really fun action. It was great seeing like Shinsuke Nakamura do a wrestle, which we haven't seen. Like, it feels like we've seen a bit of it on SmackDown for the last couple of months, but like I've just sort of missed it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like we should have had this for the last like 2 or 3 years. And it was really fun to see. And it was great to see Rollins like doing this wrestling as well. It was really fun to watch. I kind of wish it had a bit more of a longer build, like rather than just sort of, you know, do one angle on SmackDown and then they've got a match, you know, 2 days later. But it built Seth Rollins, which was assumed going to lead into the Cesaro match at Mania. It made Nakamura look really good as well. So yeah, Nakamura got over out of this. Seth Rollins got over out of this. This is the point, like you said, where the show really turned around for me.
Rhea Ripley is coming tonight on Raw. Yeah. We got a little video package advertising. I fully expected coming soon to appear, but no, tomorrow for Raw, which is today.
So, yeah. So from what we'd heard, you know, I've been making my bold prediction that she's not going to be debuting until after WrestleMania. I had a message saying, you're actually correct. Like there is no plan. She's not debuting until after WrestleMania, but then plans changed. And that she's debuting tonight on Raw. And I guess the
you had a text message.
I'll get into it sort of after the show. I'll talk about it sort of off air because I don't want to sort of name the person in case it was a wrong sort of reporting sort of thing. But anyway, and then
has everyone got sources apart from me?
And then Yeah, and then so apparently like plans have changed. And I guess it's but the speculation is because they're thinking that Charlotte may not be on Mania now. So they need a challenger for Asuka. So it's going to be Asuka versus Rhea for the title, which is the third sort of plan. That was like, you know, plan C for the women's title picture for Raw, because it was meant to be Charlotte versus Lacey Evans, then Flair versus Asuka. Now it looks like it might be Asuka versus Ripley instead.
Well, it could be worse, couldn't it? Plans massively changing could be worse. If we get Asuka versus Rhea Ripley at the end of it all, I'm okay with that. After that, however, I love the main event. I really, really like the main event, but this was my match of the night. I thought it was superb. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. They have already had two very, very good pay-per-view caliber matches on TV, on Raw, over the last month. And you're like, well, they've done those. Like, how are they going to top that? And the answer is by doing everything outside the ring. And the video package as well that played before it, they used footage from Irish Whip Wrestling back in 2005 when they're so tiny. Yeah. And it just, I thought this was an incredible, incredible match. And I thought Drew really brought the emotion that had the big spots. They've brought up into the Thunderdome crowd and Drew pushed Sheamus through the screens, which got an actual explosion, which was fun. And God, didn't Drew even say when you promise something, you've got to deliver the fireworks?
Yeah, you got on Monday. Bye.
That is a goddamn baby face right there. And his baby face go home promo, he delivered on what he said. And there was honestly, honest to God, there was a moment I thought Sheamus was winning. This is like the most predictable match on the card. Drew's already been announced to face Bobby. This would have been so much better if they hadn't already announced that for Mania, where Sheamus bro kicks Drew over the barricade, which we saw at the end of the last Raw match they had. So great callback there. And then he picks him up for the white noise or the air raid crash, if you're a Ciampa fan, and hits it through the announcer's table off the barricade with the WrestleMania sign in the background. I just thought it was such a beautiful way to show Sheamus' struggle. But then Drew powered back Claymore and won with tears in his eyes.
And it was a proper, like, desperation Claymore from Drew. Like, this was, like, the last thing he had in the tank was to hit this move and get the win. Such a lovely, poetic thing. This, I wish that WWE had more faith in Sheamus. Because this whole storyline has been, Sheamus is not good enough to main event a pay-per-view, which is why we're not getting Drew versus Sheamus for the title. And that's why we just did it on Raw. And then they did the match on Raw, and then Vince went, oh, actually, that was great. Do it again, and we'll do it on pay-per-view. So it kind of like, I wish they'd had the faith in him from the very get-go to have just done this, because we'd already seen Drew beat him, and then, you know, they sort of like beat each other off in the other one with the stairs. Yeah, you heard. And then Drew just beats him again here. And it was funny, before this started, like before this stream started, Fastlane, they were showing Sheamus on the bump. And like, I was like, just kind of like half listening to it while I was setting up my stuff downstairs for the live stream reactions. And they did ask Sheamus, it was like, with your amazing run of form as of late, and you know, you taking like Drew McIntyre to his limit, why aren't you in the main event picture of WrestleMania? Why don't you have a match at WrestleMania? And Sheamus was like, I don't know. Like, don't ask me. Like, I wish I had an answer, but I don't. And they kind of like, Sheamus sort of felt like he was channeling a lot of that in his match. And it kind of feels like that's the story that Drew and Sheamus have just said, like, this is the story that we're going to tell in this. It's not really the story we've been doing on TV, but that's the story we're going to tell in this match, because Sheamus is just like, it should be me. Should be me in that main event of WrestleMania. And it was just great. Like, I loved like the callback to the 2005, because it really took me back to my university years of watching Sheamus O'Shaughnessy versus Drew Galloway, Irish Whip Wrestling sort of thing. But the match was just so much fun. Just kicking the crap out of each other over and over again all throughout. I thought it was just wonderful stuff, and I absolutely loved it.
What do you think Sheamus does now? Of course, I think he's going to be lost in the shuffle because everyone's got their Mania plans. But hopefully he'll be rewarded for this run of form come post-WrestleMania and get an actual program.
Yeah, he can win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
God damn it, Luke. After that, we got Bliss versus Randy Orton, which was the equivalent of a cold bucket of water thrown over my face after that match. But actually, before we got the main event, Hulk Hogan is co-hosting WrestleMania with Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, so I didn't know that this was a thing. And then the match, like the graphic came up, and I was like, is Hulk Hogan having a match against Titus O'Neil at WrestleMania? I was like, oh, no, no, he's just hosting it. Oh, I see. Some of his best co-hosts are from Tampa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we can all see through what the PR spin reasons for this might be. I don't know. Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan was our main event. There was 45 minutes left of the show by this point. And I was like, yes, freaking please. I love these Roman epics. They're just, he brings so much character. And it's not just Roman. It's the cast. Because you get Jay, you get Paul Heyman. You know what? And it's just, each time he tells this different story of the fragility of Roman Reigns. I am stunned by his heel work and his heel character. That there is so much vulnerability to him. Like every match he has, it's, oh yeah, but the guy nearly beat me fair and square. And I'm amazed how he keeps me being intrigued by this. And it doesn't like turn me around going, oh, they're booking Roman too weakly. Because I fully believe he can beat people up. Like he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah, there was a moment in this match. Like we last night on the stream, we were just gushing over this match. Something fierce, just like every single moment, just being like, "God, this is the greatest thing." Mm. Oh man, that moment was somehow better than the last, and it was just like it was a match that beautifully, beautifully built. But there were some real like small things in this that I absolutely love, because my new favorite thing about the Roman Reigns character is his selling. Because there's a moment in this match, right, where Bryan's got him in a hammerlock, like on the floor, and he starts driving his knees into his back. And Roman isn't selling this like an ow, that hurts. His face was like, oh, this is annoying. I shouldn't be in this position. I shouldn't be having my arm behind my back. It really was this face of like, this is a bit annoying. So then Bryan locks in a much stronger hold, and then Roman starts selling the pain. And because he starts selling the pain the second time after the first, it made that sell even more impactful. Even before that, because the start of this match is, you know, Roman Reigns just stand there looking like the end of level guardian that he is. And Bryan just sort of walks up to him, and Bryan starts to try and do wrestling. He's probably just like wrestling, and he's trying to. And Roman just—he doesn't try to out wrestle him. He just keeps walking out of the moves. So like Bryan will keep like going for his legs to take out stuff, and Roman just sort of like walks out of it because he's like, "Well, I'm not doing that. That's not what we're here to do. Like, I'm the tribal chief. I'm not going to ground wrestle you." There was so much in this was just like, and I think you said in one of your, I'm not sure if it was in your review or some of the notes I've seen of yours, where it's like, he's the softest trash talker ever. And it's so beautiful.
I didn't say that. That's, it's you're reading so my notes. Beautiful. Yeah. this didn't make it into my review, but it's a part of Roman that I think unfortunately is going to get lost to the, when the no fans era passes, because you cannot talk that quietly. The microphones won't pick you up when there's an audience there, but he just casually goes, "Nah, you're not better than me. I'm gonna beat you." It's incredible.
Nah, you're not better.
Nah, sorry, mate. He's basically whispering it. Just to go through the story of this match, really. Like Luke already said, Bryan tries to out wrestle Roman first. You've got Edge on the outside as this special guest enforcer. That really, really dramatic back and forth stuff. There's an awesome power slam off a Bryan dive outside. Great Bryan comeback. Bryan honestly is just one of the best comeback guys of all time in wrestling. I was struck by how into Kevin Owens I was in the Roman Reigns feud and how much more into Bryan I am. Like I thought I love Kevin Owens, but this Bryan doing this story in this match, I was so much, just brilliant. And it gets to the point where Bryan accidentally takes out a referee. Edge slides in because Roman hits the spear, counts the pin, but Bryan kicks out. Jey Uso comes down, super kicks for everyone, goes gets a chair, but Bryan gets the chair off him, takes out Jey Uso, but also takes out Edge too. There's no officials now, and he gets the yes lock on Roman forever. Talk about selling here. because I had to watch this in half speed to get the shot for the thumbnail of my review video. Just insane selling from Roman here. His eyes, the desperation, the panic. And he just does this gentle little tap. But then, so he tapped out, and then Edge beat them both with chairs. Not seeing the tap out because he was frustrated. He storms off. Another referee comes in. Roman makes the cover.
That tap out spot was in freaking credible. Like we were saying on the stream last night that it wasn't, he was tapping out and only letting Brian know.
Mm.
Like, it's like, I'm not telling the crowd, because, you know, he cut this promo on SmackDown where he's like, I've never tapped out in my career. And like, you're not going to be the first person to tap me out. So he didn't do the big, like, I'm tapping out so the crowd can react to it. I'm literally just telling you that you beat me. And you're the only person that will ever know this. It was so wonderfully subtle and beautiful. And it kind of sucks that there was a, when the referee got bumped, like, it was one of the dumbest referee bumps, because referees like standing behind Roman Reigns. I'm like, what referee is going to stand there in this? You know, what world would someone do that? And kind of the same thing with the Edge bump as well. Some have like, you know, criticized it for getting a bit overbooked, but I actually quite enjoyed like all of the like levels that it kept just going through. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the overbooked of it. Like, if you want to call it overbooked, I enjoyed the heckins out of it. But I overall just adored this match. And what I find particularly thrilling about all of this is that in January, there were sort of rumblings that it could be Brian that wins the Rumble. And I was listening to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of the podcasts and feedback to those podcasts were just like, yeah, I think it's probably past. You know, Brian had his chance to, like, if this was 5 years ago, 100% I'd be in agreement with you now. But it's not. Maybe we should try someone new. Maybe we should try someone different. And I kind of agreed. I was like, yeah, you know, in 2015, I was like, it should have been Brian. But now here I am in 2021, maybe I'm not so sure. And in one match, I'm like, oh, yeah, Brian should have won the Rumble. And he should be the top guy. Give him all the belts. He should just be the champion of everything, because he's just the best.
And that is kind of a view shared by WWE, apparently. Despite the plan to definitely be Edge versus Roman for the most of last week, really. Seems like so many things changed in WWE over the last 4 days, because Andrade wasn't going to get released. Then they did. Edge versus Roman was going to be the main event as a singles match. Rhea Ripley was going to debut after Mania, apparently. But now the plan is Brian is added to that match. And a lot of people are saying Edge turned heel here. I did not get a heel turn from Edge. I just got like a frustration of the situation. If anything, he'll be a tweener. But yeah. Brian is definitely the babyface. Roman's obviously the heel. It's probably a good role for Edge to just be that, you know, ultimate opportunist, deluded veteran guy. I think I'm stunned, again, how Brian versus Edge versus Roman is. I'm so, like, how into that I am as a clash of character dynamics.
And I've got, Brian has to be the man to walk out of the match as the champion. And I really do think Brian should be the champion. I feel like the story is almost designed for him to be winning here. And like you mentioned, it's the parallels to WrestleMania 30, right? But like, there's in more ways than just one. I think it was in your review that you said, like, a part-timer came back and won the Royal Rumble and was then meant to face off against one of the company's top heel, but then Brian gets himself inserted into this. It's literally history repeating itself. And I kind of love it. And actually, Edge, in a way, you know, because Batista returned as a babyface, but was sort of heelish by the time that match started and then went fully-fledged heel afterwards. There's so many parallels in this. But I kind of like the idea of Daniel Bryan winning here. Or, you know, if Edge wins and you go on and feud him with Daniel Bryan. But like, I'm so into the idea of Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania.
What I do think is Roman definitely isn't getting pinned. And that's good. Like, I love I think Roman probably should lose the title at Mania, just because Edge, you know, like, it really undermines his comeback otherwise. And this is a good way for Roman to not get pinned to lose the belt and still be a threat. So I would love, I think Edge can pin Brian. And there's so many stories you can tell out of that. But Brian pinning Edge, I'm very into that idea. Overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5 show. Just because that two excellent matches with Drew and Sheamus and Brian versus Roman.
Yeah, I'd have also given this a 4 out of 5. The first half of the show, not first half, first third of this show was no good. And I was really kind of down on this. And actually, like, the chat we had was just like, cannot believe I'm wasting my time by watching this show. Like, there was a moment during Elias versus Braun where someone sent a message being like, this is on pay-per-view. Like, and it was just like, but the last two thirds of the show really did bring me back. Even if I'm not into the Alexa, Randy Orton, Fiend stuff, the show was so good. And the community poll was in line with that. You know, a 3 out of 5 was 51%. They thought the show was pretty good. But it is, you know, weighted towards 4 out of 5 there with the 23%. So, yeah, I think people overall really enjoyed this show.
Well, let's do our Hyper Chats to see what you guys think. We're going to rattle through these, get them into wrestletalk.com/support because we'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Stephen Guzman says, to be honest, I'm not liking the idea of triple threat for the Universal title. Feels like it's a way to put the threat, to put the title on Edge, who I still feel shouldn't have won the Rumble, without pinning Roman. Roman needs to hold on to the title.
Yeah, he says to continue on, I think Roman needs to hold the title until next Mania, when someone like Big E could win in a huge WrestleMania moment and you can have Roman go away for a bit, tell how devastating that loss is to his character.
That would be great. That's not how WWE books things, I don't think. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that fantasy booking scenario. Homer Star Fan 13, I thought Brian versus Roman was an amazing match, but I didn't like how Brian seemed to die after one chair shot from Edge. That's a very good point. What I thought would happen was Edge rings the bell after Reigns taps, but he actually DQs Brian because he hit him with the chair. So both Roman and Brian were hit by chairs, but Brian was just out, despite Roman being in the yes log. That is a bad. Gilbert S., what do you think about a WrestleMania double retirement match? Edge and Daniel Bryan being retired on the same night by Roman Reigns. So much heat, it's toasty.
Yeah, toasty. I can't quite see a double retirement thing going, particularly like because Edge has just come back.
Phil Roberts, I really loved Roman versus Bryan. Struck me that I'd seen a sort of two-man power trip alliance between this Reigns and a heel Bryan. Probably a terrible idea, but I'd had a few gins by this point. Better than Riddle's business ideas, though, good God. Brendan Harris, Bryan holding onto the title for one last ride could be a great story. Double down on his best in the world gimmick by having every title defense a retirement match. Have him hold the belt until SummerSlam, where he finally loses and gets a proper send-off. I don't want Brian to retire.
No, I know, but he says he's winding down his career. And like, I'm sad about it too, dude. But like, I kind of love that as well. Like this one last run where every match is going to be his last. I love that.
Davil Shah, one thing I've really enjoyed in the Thunderdome era is how wrestlers like Roman speak in their natural lower tones for their promos and trash talking in matches. It adds so much to his amazing character. Wonder if it will be as effective with crowds. Jam that jam. I don't think it will.
It will for the home audience because it's in those periods of time where they essentially just the commentators stop talking and like they raise the mics up and they play it out for the home feed. But for the live audience, they're not going to hear it in the same way. I'll hot tag Anthony Velasquez says Fastlane was going to easily be the worst pay-per-view of the year, but thankfully those three great matches saved this pay-per-view. Charles Berg says Randy just keeps drinking mud. He knows it's bad, but the poor guy can't help it. Barbecue Fiend was nice. Brian and Reigns proved wrestling doesn't need insane moves to be compelling. Sad about E versus Apollo, but it's okay for WWE from 20 to 21 isn't canon. Trevor Seibert said, I can't wait for Ali to bring out all new Retribution members. Peach Fuzz, Trash Can, Beetlejuice, Small Peen. Also super excited for the big Mania triple threat. Hope Brian wins big Blue Universal gold. Kevin says, Bianca got slapped real hard and her reaction was like, oh, she didn't. Well, I'll beat her ass in 3 weeks. I don't understand why she just stood there like the ropes were some magical door that she couldn't go through.
The WrestleMania sign is magnetic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that, so she couldn't physically do that.
She actually tried to slap her, but because she had a finger pointed out, the magnet just sort of goes towards the sign. Peter Mullins, hey lads, thanks for watching the show so I don't have to. I guess, but I didn't watch the show as it felt like there were no stakes at all. I checked in with my wrestling mates WhatsApp group and no one watched it. Will Peacock have viewing figures? I don't know if they will, but man, people were not happy with the Peacock service last night. Like apparently apparently it was a disaster. Like Denise on her stream after the show was like, I couldn't log in and like nothing, like what device I was trying, I couldn't log in. We obviously do our sync up points for the live stream. You can't pause Peacock. So everyone was like five minutes ahead of us and they couldn't, like no one could get synced. So everyone was in time with each other and you can't rewind like live TV. Mm. So like Sean, when SRS was watching it, he was like, I'm trying to rewind to rewatch spots, like to rewatch the Big E and I can't. Apparently it was, yeah, not, people were not happy with it, but it's okay. WWE got lots of money and that's what matters.
Well, you're always going to have to do the test and this was the test one. So if it's the same again at WrestleMania, that's a problem. But the purpose of this being on both the network and Peacock for US viewers was to road test issues.
Yeah, I hope so. Colin Bennett, really feel like this show didn't get going until Drew versus Sheamus. And by that point, I was already mentally checked out and I couldn't get myself invested again. Jake Schoper says, with Reginald floating around both shows and pay-per-views now, how long before we get the Omni-Reg jokes?
Maybe. If Flair's taking time off, someone has to.
Someone made the joke yesterday that he should debut his new faction called Reg-Robution. Stephen Guzman said, without Bradley, WWE has been booking both the Raw and SmackDown women's divisions. Do you think they are in danger of really damaging the divisions to the level the tag title scene is? I love the women, but the booking is killing any interest for me.
I think you can say the same about the men as well. It's not like it's a divisions problem. It's a stars problem and who the company perceives as stars.
Stephen Taylor says, regarding Sasha Banks, clearly she was angry because her arrogant attitude believed that she would make Shayna tap out before Nia could break it up. She wasn't stupid. She was just the way she is. I don't think that's the way it came off. She got up and argued with Bianca Belair for breaking the pin up.
Yeah.
Or breaking the submission.
I guess you can tell the idea that there's a very deep psychological layer of Sasha actually being angry with herself and that exerted itself in anger at Belair. But that is not what came across. It came across as, why did you fall into me?
Yeah, and that's why Nia escaped, because Nia was hoping that Bianca would be stupid enough to think that Banks would be stupid enough to think that Bianca broke it up. Nasus WP says, do you think Retribution's failure was due to bad booking or lack of execution by the wrestlers? Maybe a little of both. Will this factor into their futures? Thanks for consistent content. Jam that jam.
Bad booking. You can't. Yeah. Make a success of that gimmick.
I mean, we said this on the stream last night, but God bless all of them. They tried. Like T-Bar, Mace, Slapjack, they were trying their hardest to get this over through social media. And Ali, like, was trying so hard to get this over, but the company never gave them an inch. So yeah, it's none of the lads' fault. Nate S., wouldn't re-debuting Retribution members as themselves and acting like nothing happened feed into one of the biggest gripes we have with WWE, that they treat us like we're dumb? At least reference that they broke free from Ali's rhetoric. Also, it was Pete.
All authorities for life. In a perfect world, yes, Nate S., I totally agree that's what they should do. But I don't trust WWE to do that version well. So why not just do the more realistic hope of they're gonna screw it up anyway, so do the least bad option?
Kevin says, Cruz and Big E had a match which ended with a small package and Cruz was just a bit upset. Paul Heyman gave him a pep talk on Talking Smack. I think they want to tell the story that this time he didn't accept it. Still bad, but it can explain the end.
I think it was a botch.
Yeah. Peter Mullins, agree with Ollie regarding Brian. They should frame by frame remake the final sequence of Mania 30. Brian's a tap out Edge in the Yes Lock as Roman is sliding into the ring with the back of shot. I think it's a great visual storytelling, Brian.
Yes. That is great, Peter. I love that idea. New Punk rants. I get your point, and he may have substantial input, but it's 2001 WCW with how it's presented. This is The Fiend, by the way. WWE cut the legs out when they ignored Bray's history that could have helped with feuds and made them better. But Goldberg, last night, Hell in a Cell, etc., it's trash. Yes.
I'm not defending it. It is bad.
Yeah, it is bad, but it's not WCW 2001 levels of bad. Misha Sumra, the heel face dynamic in the Fiend Autumn feud is off kilter because you have to read it as a horror movie, not pro wrestling. What we think is Randy face support is actually displaced final girl support.
Misha, I'm going to massively disagree with you there, because if Randy's the final girl, then you're cheering the final girl. Like, that's the whole point of a horror movie, is you're supposed to cheer the final girl. I know, like, there was an ironic switch during the late 80s where, you know, you go to see a Friday the 13th movie to see Jason do all the killing and stuff. But by the end of it, you do want to see the final girl prevail. I'm going to massively disagree with you on that one.
Phil Roberts, I dislike anything to do with fire or murder in wrestling. A world where people get arrested for vandalizing limos or suspended for nutting, not even the GM, yet others are free to cut promos a night after burning someone to death. It's just not for me. Yeah, I agree, yeah. Phil. Matt Dennis, I watched the show with my 8-year-old cousin who recently got into wrestling. The Alexa versus Randy match was his favorite thing on the show by far, and The Fiend is his favorite character. At least it's working for someone. 8-year-olds. Blake Patterson, would have loved Fiend versus Demon King. Now all I want is for WWE not to duck it up to too much also. Mr. Davis, be mindful of Chopper. It's always the one closest to you slides in the knife. Just ask Cody. Yeah, Luke used to be the closest to me. I was trying to come for my hair. Dender Dex, first time Ultra Chat, been subscribed for years, thank you. When Alexa came out looking all kawaii last night, my missus decided that Alexa had been processed by Ollie, and that's why he wasn't available last night. Possessed, I think that's meant to mean. No, I did not have any involvement in that booking. Super Frankie 08, we're just going to ignore the fact that on the recent Dynamite review, Mr. Davis used his injured arm to put his earpiece on. I think Ollie screwed Ollie. Anyways, big love from Singapore. Take care, guys. Enjoy your day. Jam that jam. Brendan Harris, I love Pete being upset at The Fiend attacking Randy for no DQ, while simultaneously no selling Alexa's supernatural powers. He seems to be suspiciously comfortable with explosions.
It's an interesting point, isn't it?
I mean, I did ask him,
he said no.
Tyrone Kidd, I don't think you guys know since you are in the UK, but for months Caruso has been doing temporary hosting on ESPN's flagship show First Take. Maybe she's found greener pastures. Hashtag bald Ollie. Not going to happen. And yes, I we were aware of the ESPN stuff. We've heard it from a lot of people before. When you work outside of WWE, you're like, oh, this is what a nice company is like. And finally, Cameron Lane, in case you've not heard, here's this for the theory about Daniel retiring. On the WWE Network, under This Is Daniel Bryan section, it said their WWE 2021 Hall of Fame inductee was Daniel Bryan. It may just have been an error since it was quickly taken down, though.
Yeah, according to Sean Ross Sapp, that was just an error. Like, he's not going into the Hall of Fame. It was just literally just a typing error.
Well, a few more are just coming in. Brandon Harris, sorry to make you sad, Mr. Davis, over my Daniel Bryan booking earlier, especially after everything you've been through this week. To make you happy, just imagine all the underutilized superstars Bryan will make look amazing along the way. Yes, no doubt. Like Triple H and Randy Orton.
And Edge.
I don't know. Yeah, and Edge. But thank you, everybody, ever so much for coming to watch show today. Of course, subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel if you're not already. Go over to WrestleTalk and watch my review of the show, also my reactions to the Andrade release. That's crazy. What else we got coming up on the WrestleTalk podcast this week, Luke?
Well, I'll tell you what we haven't got, Mr. Davis, and that's thumbnails with your face on it and yellow circles. What are you thinking, man? A new direction for WrestleTalk by the sound of things. But here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel, we have got the Raw review and the AEW review this week with El Fakador Laurie Blake while Mr. Davis goes off to get some perhaps much needed R&R for his arm injury he picked up from the explosion. And then, of course, we'll have the magazine show with myself and Denise Salcedo on Friday, the SmackDown review with Andy and Pete on the Saturday. So much to get your teeth into. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you all so much for watching. I'm coming for that hair, Mr. Davis. Phrasing. It will be mine. Oh, yes. It will be mine. So jam that jam, Mr. Davis. Jam that jam for me. I've got to end this
Kawaii.
Stream.
Kawaii.
Wrestle jam, yeah. Jam that jam, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.